didn't feel right, but guess what? God gives me peace. Oh, I don't like this eerie feeling that I have because of how I feel in my body. I feel sluggish and tired, but I know God will give me peace about it. Somebody say amen in here. We need to know that the peace of God, and it's not my peace. Jesus said, better yet, Jesus said, he said, I'll give you peace not as the world give it. I give you my peace. In other words, I don't give you the kind of peace that make you want to run from your problems. I give you the kind of peace that as you stay in your problem, that everything is going to be all right. I give you the kind of peace that's worry-free, that you say, you know what, Lord? If I can't do it and if you can't do it, nobody can. So I'm not going to worry myself tonight, but I'm going to rest on. It's the kind of peace that allows you to sleep through it. It's the kind of peace that allows you to say, you know what? No weapon formed against me will prosper. It may form up, but doesn't matter what comes my way, I know God will. Do I have anybody? He said, I give you peace that surpasses. And the word, when it said it passes, I'm sorry, it said passes all understanding. In other words, it goes above understanding. It rises over the top of understanding. And somebody might ask you, why in the world you don't look like you worried? All that hell you going through? Well, I can't explain because I really don't understand. But all I know is the Lord got my back. All I know that this battle is not mine, but it belongs to the Lord. Do I have anybody that said this battle is not mine? I know this battle belongs to God. I got the peace that passes all understanding. But look at what he said. He said that peace not only passes understanding, he said, but peace will keep your heart and it'll keep your mind through Christ Jesus. What was he talking about here? He said the word keep is like a military word. In other words, God has ordered peace. I wish I had somebody. See, what peace is an order. And peace not only is an order, but peace brings order to disorder. See, some of us have some disorder. Some of us have some dysfunction. But when God speaks peace, do you remember when Jesus was on the ship and they said, Lord, you don't care that we perish. And Jesus got up and said, peace, be still. Do I have anybody that say, I've been in a storm, but guess what God said? He said, peace, be still. If you haven't heard it already, I came to tell you this morning that I'm just an echo of what Jesus already said. He said, peace, be still. I know you've been through the storm. I know you've been through the rain. I know that the water's overtaking your boat. I know that the waves are rocking you back and forth. I know that the winds are temperate. But guess what? Today, Jesus said, peace, be still, and the wind begin to cease. I want you to see something here. He said it'll keep your heart. In other words, when he gave the order, everything had no choice but to do what he said. He said it'll keep your heart. In other words, he'll gather around you so that you won't be bothered. Even though it's storming all around you, you shall not be moved. Even though the wind blowing all around you, you'll still stand the storm and rain. Come on and say yes in here. Give God some glory. He said it'll keep your heart. The heart is the seat of the beings, the whole being. The heart is where your whole being lies. It is the very inner part of your being, spiritually and physically. So he said no matter what comes spiritually and no matter what comes physically, the Lord is able to keep you. Somebody say yes. He'll keep you in perfect peace if you can keep your mind stayed on him. Do I have anybody that said Jesus?
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor more than silver and gold. I think it's so important for us to teach our young people about a good name. When I was coming up, I heard that a lot. Older folk made clear that you understood your heritage, that you understood your pedigree, that you understood who your people were in the community and what they stood for in the community. They wanted to make sure that you understood that it took hard work, it took good work, it took good things all of their lives to build up the good name. It didn't happen overnight. And they were careful that you didn't mess up their good name. They had a good name in the church, had a good name in the community. They had a good name with authorities. They had a good name with their neighbors. They had a good name with their creditors. Y'all getting quiet on me here. Yeah. They had a good name that brought to them a life that was worth living. And even though they didn't have everything that they desired to have, they had a good name. And that brought much. I think it's important that you understand that a name is greatly gravely important, and has great linkage with things that are important and with things that are successful. But on the contrary, or contrary wise, just the opposite. If it's a bad name, it's usually associated with bad things and bad happenings and bad vibes, and people just don't like to be with you just when they hear that name. If I called you, if I said that's Jezebel's daughter, you hear the way the crowd is snickering. Some of you young folk don't know who Jezebel is, but ask your mamas and your grandmamas and all of them. They'll tell you about Jezebel and the spirit of Jezebel. It's not a good name, you know. But if I said Ruth, or if I said Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, Mary Magdalene had another story, but she got herself together. And I just want to tell you, when you say a name, there are feelings and thoughts and sentiments connected with that name. And so when you said you were a member of a certain named family, people automatically got a picture of who you were based on your name and your connection. Now, is this biblical? Yes, it is. One of the things you will find out in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, the Lord says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. But look at what he says first. If my people, which are called by my name. Now, he's not talking about other folk who are not called by his name. He's talking about his children now. He's talking about believers who bear his name, have a responsibility not only to him, but to represent him in the fashion in which he has established. And my brothers and sisters, what we must know, that even if your earthly name was not one associated with goodness, as a believer, you've got the best name that earth could ever be aware of or have been made known by, and that's the name of God. You're children of the Most High God. That means he expects you to operate on the highest standard of good. That means he expects you to be peculiar and different and separated from the world. That means when you walk, folk take notice at you because your walk is a walk different from the walk of the world. When you work, your work is different because it says that you're doing it with a spirit of excellence as unto the Lord. You're not with folk who say, well, they don't pay me to do that. And yet it is within your ability to do it. And just because you finish your job, you sit there and fold your hands and say, I'm through with my work. Is the job through? Then you seek to put your hands wherever it can help once you've done your part, because it's a team effort. See, employers look for employees that rise to the top. Those that are not lazy and those who are not just working for a paycheck, but those who take their work seriously, who do their work as unto the Lord. And that's what makes the Lord's name great in the workplace. But then when you don't act like that, when you aren't responsible like that, when you find yourself taking longer breaks than you ought to take, find yourself doing stuff you ought not be doing, find yourself using employee materials for personal use. If you find y'all getting quiet on me here. All of these things suggest, listen, who you are and where you come from. And recognize this, that even if your family name is not great, the name of your God is. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Listen to me, young people. The world shows us great riches, and as it shows us great riches, it shows us by any means necessary. Young girls out there showing their bodies, selling their bodies, disrespecting their bodies, and yet they want best of everything, best men, best lives, best situations. Well, you got to be best girl. You got to know a godly man is looking for a godly woman. Listen at me well. Listen, men are men. Let me say that. Let me qualify and quantify what that means. Listen, It's amazing how, and I've said this in many arenas, how mothers will tell their daughters how to act. I'm going to just put it like that. I'm gonna put it like that. Mothers will tell their daughters what they ought to do and what they ought not do. But when it comes to their boys, they close their mouths many times. Many times when it comes to their boys, it's all right for their boys to do what they don't want their daughters to do. And that's not right. And the reason I say that is because a lot of times mothers don't have fathers in the house to help them rear those boys. And they've got to be mother and father to help them understand how a good name is a good name, whether there is a father in the house or not. It is about who you are and what you stand for and how you rear your children. Just because daddy decided he didn't want to stick around for the job don't mean that you can do just your job. You've got to pick up the slack until the Lord sends someone else there. You've got brothers, print those brothers on in and make them uncles who participate in the process. You've got a father, let him step on in. In other words, you've got to help balance that boy's life so that he is able to get a full picture of what a good man is supposed to be. And too many times there are not those examples around. And then men in the street, all those who are less than godly and good, become influential in these young people's lives. And they're used to taking what they want rather than working for what they want. They're used to conniving and getting over and going through all of those kinds of games, trying to make it through life. And it doesn't matter who they step on, doesn't matter who they hurt, because it's all about getting what they want at any cost. And those kind of folk don't have a good name nor a good reputation. And those are not the kind of people that you want to associate with. You know, listen. A lot of times we make mistakes in life. And with the grace of God, we can rebound from those mistakes. Because God is a loving and forgiving God. And if we come to him and we repent and turn our lives around, he can change us. But if he does not have that opportunity, anyone outside of him will not live a life that's worthy of him. And you need to be careful, because the Bible teaches us as believers to be careful not to yoke ourselves with unbelievers. And too many believers are unhappy right now because they are yoked together unequally with a non-believer. Let me tell you something about a non-believer. Non-believers can look good, they can be fine, they can be healthy, they can be all that you want to do, but if they don't have a heart for God, if they've not been changed, if they've not been rearranged, if they are not children of the Most High God, then they can't even begin to enter into your space. Listen, a good name is so important, because what is so important about that name is what is in that name is generally transferred into the children of that name. You learn what you live. When you see mannerable children, when you see children who are careful to handle you and speak in a certain way with respect and honor, you know where they got it from 9 out of 10 times. When you speak to their parents, you know what they are about before you ever see them. But when you see disrespectful children and children who don't know how to look you in the eye, don't know how to speak to you with any kind of respect, don't know how to handle you with any kind of respect, you know what the parent is going to be like. Old preachers used to tell you, when they see the children, you can tell whether or not the Lord been in that house. Matter of fact, old preachers were wise. They would, you know, they say, if you really want to know how a family feel about you, just speak to the children. And if the children don't like you, it's a good sign that the parents ain't been saying no good things about you. But generally, when the children love you, it's generally because the parents love you. And they show up and speak well of you. And so you've got to recognize that character isn't a name. Character isn't a name. A good name. Character is there. Why is character so important? Because character, is shortly expressed and explained, is you at your best in the dark. Meaning this, that you do good when isn't a person or a soul around you watching you. You don't need nobody around you to do right. When you're really good and you have been reared that way, and that's a part of your character. You just do things. When you're good, and then that, you know, good manners are a part of you. You'll find yourself. If you sneeze, you put your hand over your mouth to catch yourself. You find yourself doing something. Nobody's you say certain things. Excuse me. Nobody's there. That's just a part of you. Things you do. You do them not because folk are watching or not before because folk are paying attention to you, but it's the right thing to do. You learn how to do the right thing even at the wrong times. You know, you learn. It may be late at night. It's a four-way stop. Nobody's coming. But the four-way stop say stop all way. That means don't do a rolling stop. I'm just talking about character shows up there. You right there, you stop. Come to the police, stop, you look around. Because here's what you don't know. You don't know who's watching you. Isn't it amazing how police come up out of the strangest places? You driving and you ain't see nobody around you. You going on and, you know, you talking, you reaching down, you all over. Where'd he come from? Well, I've been watching you for the last 2 miles and you've been zigzagging. Yeah. Oh, I was officer. No, you were texting. I was watching you. Pull on over. You know, and let's see, but when you know the rules, you're not supposed to text and drive. Because let's think you can do it. But the fact that you've taken your eyes off the road for 2 seconds, somebody could have pulled in front of you and stopped, walked across, and you didn't see it because you did not have your focus where it ought to have been. And somebody's not alive today because you didn't do the right thing. And so, character shows up in all of those different ways. It's not just the major issues. It's the little bitty things. But when you have a good name and you're taught the right things, it builds confidence in you. Confidence is in a good name. That if I do the right thing, that I have God on my side, and I can expect the right thing to happen out of it. It doesn't mean that the devil won't step in, but here's what I know. He can't do no more than God allows him to do. And in the end, I win. See, I'm confident in that. Job was confident in that, so much so when three of his friends tried to tell him he must have been wrong, got it wrong, did something in the dark that they didn't see, but God saw it, and that's the reason he was suffering so much. Job went to God, and he said, God, if I missed it somewhere, I don't know how. I've repented for it. I've sacrificed. I've burned offerings. He's done all of these things, and he knew that was no conviction of God's spirit that he had done anything wrong, and he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Why will I trust him? Because he's trustworthy. In other words, God's going to honor his word. He's going to back up his word. And when you have that confidence in word, in God's word, it's because you honor him and you know that he honors you. When you are truly a child of God and have the good name of God and you follow principles that are good, you begin to realize that the confidence that is from God's word lives in you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I trust him to tell me which way to go when I don't know what way to go. I trust him to tell me what decision to make when I don't know the right decision to make. I trust him to tell me what investment to invest in, because I know he knows best. I trust him in all things. And in all things, he leads me in the paths that are best for me. Look at what he says. Again, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. That means this. If you sell your name, connected with your God, connected with your soul out for riches, you have missed the mark. Jesus put it this way. What does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, and lose his own soul? Then he asked this question. Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? Now listen at this. Because when you have a good name, first of all, you recognize that there is nothing greater than your relationship with God. No great riches. There's nothing that you should do. There's many things you could do, but nothing you should do that will dishonor your name. Because your name is connected with God's name. As a child of God, your name represents God. And when you do anything that dishonors God, then that means that you have brought dishonor upon God. And he's not going to bless the efforts that you have put out in dishonoring him. And that means you can get all of the money you want. You can have all of the fake friends you want. You can have any kind of job with the position and title and 6-7 figures you want. But when you have dishonored God, then you have just begun to live your hell. What will you give in exchange for your soul? If they gave you all the money in the world, do you know what? With all the money in the world, and you can buy everything and anything you wanted, after a while, it would be like nothing to you. Nothing to you. Because it comes so easily, and there is no trying, there is no striving, there is no nothing. You just pull it out and, you know, charge it and or flip the money out in paper, and and nobody says no to you, and you begin to realize you don't have real people around you. They're just kissing up to you for your money. They're just trying to do what it takes to be around you, hoping that some of that will fall off on them. And you begin to realize you don't have real people around you who will tell you the truth and who will be honest with you and give you true feedback and tell you what's right and tell you what's wrong, because they want to have that fellowship all for the riches and not for the righteousness. But look what he says is better. Loving favor, listen, is better than silver and gold. Loving favor, and I'm closing on this, listen at this. Why do we need loving favor? Well, let me first tell you, as a child,